Good morning. I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we're going to learn about the Surfrider Foundation. I'm not sure what you all think about when you hear that, but lots of ideas out there. What is the Surfrider Foundation? Well, it is the largest network of coastal defenders in the world. And that's still a little bit vague, so we're going to learn about programs that they're doing here on the North Coast, programs they're doing all over the United States, and how you can actually be involved in helping protect our oceans and beaches. Today in the studio, I have Brianna Goodwin. Brianna is the Oregon Field Manager for Surfrider Foundation. She's based in Newport. Hi, Brianna.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm very glad that you're here today. We also have Jessie Jones. Jessie is the Blue Water Task Force Coordinator for Surfrider, and she's based here in Astoria. Hi, Jessie.
Hi, Donna.
I have been wanting to do this program for quite a while, so I'm excited to learn more about Surfrider myself. Before we begin talking about the amazing work that you all are doing with Surfrider, please let's let the listening audience learn a little bit about yourself. So, Brianna, tell us about yourself.
Yes. So as you mentioned, I am the Oregon Field Manager for Surfrider Foundation, and that means I have the pleasure of working with all of our volunteers and chapters in Oregon. But a little bit of my backstory, my relationship with Surfrider started 9 years ago down in Port Orford on the southern Oregon coast when I was coordinating the Blue Water Task Force Water Quality Monitoring Lab down there on the South Coast and working with them on some other programs, which we'll get into later. I've also worked with SOLVE, a pretty well-known statewide organization here in Oregon that does cleanups throughout the state. And I kind of decided to go get my master's at Oregon State University in marine resource management. And since then, I've worked for NOAA working on marine debris on the West Coast, and then started working for Surfrider Foundation in June of this year.
Did you grow up on the coast?
I did not. I grew up in landlocked Illinois, but my family owns a scuba diving business, so I grew up around the ocean, even though I lived in Illinois.
Wow. That's true. Okay. I don't think a whole lot of people could say that, probably.
Probably not.
So then you've been in Oregon for how long now?
For 9 years.
Okay. Yes. So you've been with Surfrider since June, but you volunteered and worked with them in many capacities before
yes.
that.
Yes.
So it's all about water for you. It's all about the ocean, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And we will find out more about what Surfrider does when we talk about the mission and the structure of the organization. But thank you, Brianna. And Jessie Jones. Let's have the listening audience learn about you, please.
Well, I have been working with Surfrider and volunteering with Surfrider since 2014, I think, when I first started coordinating our lab, which was in Manzanita. It was actually in the state park there. Before that, I was working with the North Coast Watershed Association, and I've also worked with organizations on the coast that dealt with water quality. But when I started working with Surfrider, we had a lab in, what was the state park there?
Nehalem Bay
State Park. And my job was to organize volunteers and kind of get volunteers and build capacity for our water quality testing program. And in the last year, we have moved the lab into Seaside High School. And so we test along the coast here, but we have a lab in Seaside High School. We just have one lab.
And did you grow up in Oregon? Tell us about your background.
I did. I grew up in Vernonia.
Vernonia.
Which is in the Coast Range.
Yes.
I grew up on the Nehalem River there and developed a love for the river and salmon. Which is why I kind of worked with Salmon Habitat for many years. Before I worked with the North Coast Watershed Association, I also worked with the Upper Nehalem Watershed Council. I'm doing a lot of outreach along the Nehalem River, Rock Creek, and then I kind of worked my way toward the coast and started working with the coastal communities here.
So for you, it was all about water, too.
Yes.
The rivers, the oceans, water.
Yeah.
Life.
It's a big love of mine. It's important.
let's talk about what Surfrider Foundation is. It was established in 1984, so it's 30 plus years old. And so let's talk about the mission of Surfrider and how they accomplish that mission.
Yes. So Surfrider is dedicated to the protection and enjoyment of the world's ocean waves and beaches. So keywords, protection and enjoyment. So we like to have fun while we are protecting the environment. How we do that, we have a staff nationally of about 50. Some of us are field staff. So in Oregon, we have two staff, myself and then Charlie Plyben, who is the Oregon policy manager. So he works a lot more on the policy side, from local government all the way up to state and sometimes even federal government. We have over 80 chapters in the United States, and that's groups of volunteers that kind of provide the structure to a community for addressing local, locally relevant topics. For example, in Portland a few years ago, I guess it's been 6 or 7 years ago now, the Portland chapter initiated the bag ban that was successfully passed. Nationally, Surfrider has over 250,000 members, supporters, volunteers. So we have a really strong activist network, and that's how we're able to accomplish our environmental victories. And so the way we do that, we have different focus areas: clean water, coastal preservation, ocean protection, and plastic pollution that we work on. And so that can look differently. That can look different based on the community you're in, because we are a grassroots organization, and that means that the chapters have the freedom to choose what they want to work on locally. But we also have nationwide programs like the Blue Water Task Force, which we're going to dive deeper into here, which is our water quality monitoring program.
Surfrider Foundation is a 501c3, so you're a nonprofit, and you've been around for this 30 plus years, and you have members, but you have a ton of volunteers. So you have an activist citizen network.
Yes, that is correct.
A citizen network of activists who are working on all these various programs. When I looked at the website this morning and did a little more research, and I saw that the focus is beach access, clean water, coastal preservation, ocean protection, plastic pollution. Those are the things you all are really focusing on. I did not realize that there are something like 20,000 plus beach closures annually. And of course, we have coastal erosion, there are crude oil spills, there are 5.25 trillion pieces of plastic floating in the ocean. Wow, that's pretty overwhelming. However, you all have been doing amazing work and on these various fronts. And do you want to talk about some of the successes you've had? And then we'll talk about what you're doing on the North Coast in particular.
Yes. So when we're thinking about when you think about Surfrider's mission and the work that we do, it's a lot. And so that kind of is difficult for people when they ask who we are. It's kind of difficult for people to understand because we have so many different things going on. So it's good to focus on some of those concrete victories. So here's some examples, like the Portland bag ban. Right now, there's an effort that a few of our chapters are undertaking to work on reducing plastic straw use in their communities. And I should back up a moment and say, in Oregon, we have four chapters. From the south, we have Coos Bay, Florence, Newport, and then a chapter in Portland, which supports the efforts on the North Coast. And then we have even more water quality labs, which we'll get into a little later. Some of the other victories that we've had, Oregon recently, through support from NOAA, developed an Oregon Marine Debris Action Plan to focus on how we are going to address marine debris as a state, which included agencies and nonprofits. And Surfrider worked to get plastic recognized as a particular issue in that plan, which will help everyone working on marine debris in the state get funding because it's part of a state recognized plan. We're also involved in the proposals and implementations of our Marine Reserve network in Oregon, which we have 5 Marine Reserves, and we have one down at Cape Falcon, where we are collecting water quality samples. So those are a few of the examples of what we've been up to here in Oregon.
And another, just to add another couple examples, in 2011, Surfrider created a study. It was a recreational study that showed that visitors to the coast number really high, and $2.4 billion goes to Oregon, is generated in Oregon economies by our visitors. So this study has been, it was published like 6 years ago, but now is a really important study for Oregon coastal economies, working and showing folks around the state and in Salem how many people are coming here and what they're spending and what that means in terms of visitors and in terms of what possible what either damage can happen to the coast and what comes with all of those visitors.
Right, there
as
are
well.
Impacts. There are absolutely visitor impacts. And so you all addressed that actually by?
Well, we addressed that with getting volunteers. We're trying to build capacity right now again on the North Coast for our water quality testing program. In 2015, Oregon Parks and Recreation, along with Surfrider and the Oregon Beach Monitoring Program, noticed that there was a higher bacteria content in the water around Short Sands. And so we worked together to actually build a new septic field away from the old growth forest, because the original one just couldn't deal with the capacity of people coming here. So we're still working with the parks there, testing regularly at Oswald West, which is one of our locations, one of our sites that we test regularly on the coast.
So thanks to Surfrider for noticing, yes, the impacts of human beings on our resources, and especially our coastal resources. Now we have a new septic system there at Oswald. And I think that maybe we don't realize that, pollution, offshore development, and climate change are all affecting, our coastline. And when I went to your website this morning and it said, for more than a century, the ocean has been under siege, that really hit home. And so we do have to do whatever things we can do in our daily lives. And obviously, through working with organizations like this, some folks might say, well, how does Solve differ from Surfrider? So can you please talk about that?
Yes. So I think the key difference is that Surfrider works on environmental advocacy, and Solve is a volunteer organization that works to improve the environment through volunteers by getting them out to clean the beaches, do inland waterway cleanups. They do tree planting, so it's slightly different in that they, from a kind of more neutral stance, they don't work on policy. So that's really the key difference is that Surfrider is the grassroots organizing. We have chapters with kind of clusters of local leaders, and Solve is Solve is a volunteer organization that is just statewide in Oregon.
Solve is only in Oregon, and Surfrider is international.
Correct.
And national. So so the way that you work on helping protect and find ways to deal with the effects of, all of the things that are, creating negative impacts on the ocean, you have a lot of programs. So why don't you talk about some of those programs?
Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with Blue Water Task Force?
Sure. So Blue Water Task Force, I think, was started in 1990. The North Coast chapter, or the Portland chapter and the North Coast testing, I think, started about 2011. I think our tests go back. And the Blue Water Task Force is a volunteer-run, it's an advocacy group. It's a water testing group. And we use the program to educate people about ocean health. So, for example, specifically, and I think that all the coastal chapters do this, they test for bacteria, specifically Enterococcus, which is an indicator of E. coli and other more damaging bacteria. And so we go out into the water. We have little jars, and we walk out, our volunteers walk out into the water and collect ocean samples and sometimes also stream samples. We keep those samples cold for a while, and then we take those to a lab where we process them. And that whole process can show either the students that we're working with or the public that we actually then publish those results on our website. And they can then see through indicators on our website, green dots, yellow dots, red dots, what the ocean in that specific location looked like that day, the ocean health was from that sample that we took that day. So that allows people to see what it looks like and what our ocean health is.
And then what necessary steps you might need to take if you have areas where there are problems, bigger problems than you realize. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. Today, we are talking about the Surfrider Foundation. It is the largest network of coastal defenders in the world, and it is mostly volunteers. It's a citizen activist network of folks who are protecting our oceans. They're working on beach access, clean water, coastal preservation, ocean protection, and plastic pollution through a variety of programs. It's a 501c3 nonprofit. So you're funded by donations and by grants and things like that.
Yes.
And my guests today are Brianna Goodwin. Brianna is the Oregon Field Manager for Surfrider Foundation. She's based in Newport, and she's one of only two employees in Oregon by Surfrider. And then we have Jesse Jones, who is based here in Astoria, and she is the Blue Water Task Force Coordinator in Astoria. Jesse, what are you noticing over the time that you've been now working with Surfrider? What are some of the changes that you're seeing in, let's say, awareness on the part of the public about our oceans and things that they can do, and then in your work specifically?
Well, what's interesting is you can see changes in water quality over different seasons. During the summer, sometimes we'll see spikes in certain locations where the water isn't as clean. Also, we'll see when there's a big rain, the storm water will often bring some less than desirable results. What's interesting is when I've worked in Seaside with some of the students, I've noticed that a lot of the students in a specific class I'm working in now actually haven't been to like Oswald West, which is 10 miles down the road from them. Last summer, I ended up working with a couple of students over the summer, and I took them to Oswald West for the first time ever. And they grew up in Seaside. So learning, watching these kids learn and being with them and learn about the ocean, where they live, what it looks like, what it feels like, and what the water quality is, has been pretty cool, pretty wonderful.
And if I can add to that, part of the enjoyment portion of our mission is to get kids out in the water and get them surfing, teach them about the ocean and create a connection with the ocean, and kind of building on what Jesse was talking about with some of the students not visiting short sands. It's amazing that some of these children that live on the coast that we take out at our surf camps, it's their first time being in the ocean. And so it's really exciting to see them experiencing the ocean sometimes for the first time and starting to make those connections and build an appreciation for the beach and the ocean and make a personal connection that hopefully sticks with them throughout their lives.
How old do you have to be to volunteer? And let's talk about that, because there are volunteer opportunities with Surfrider. So I'd really like to focus on that, because you have ongoing opportunities for volunteers throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. We do. And so, well, you really, in order to be a volunteer, you need a car. because we're testing at about 6 to 7 locations. So on the North Coast, we test at Oswald West, Tolovana, Cannon Beach, Indian Beach, and Seaside Cove. And so you have to have a car to be able to collect samples and then deliver those samples to Seaside High School. So you can be a teenager with a car. You can be a younger person that has a parent with a car. You can do it. I've had parent child teams before. So really, that's kind of the most important thing is to have a car. And right now, our lab, as I said, is at Seaside. And Thursdays, really by 10:30, are when we would need samples dropped off. And so I'm working with a few folks right now. Sometimes someone will do all of our sites. Like they'll start south and then they'll drive north. We provide all of the materials required. We have small coolers, we have bottles, we have pens, we have everything that anyone would need.
Wow. So a citizen can say, you know, I want to be a volunteer. I'm going to go to the beach because I want to go to the beach anyway. And I also get to do this really great thing where I can just go into the water. You know, how far out into the water do you have to go?
Well, we need about 1 to 2 feet depth.
Okay.
And
so wear your rubber boots.
Wear your boots. We also have a long pole that you can put the jar on the bottle on the end of, and that'll help you get a little bit more depth.
Right. But
it's wonderful to get down there on the beach and get those negative ions and
that's
feel
right.
All
it's
that
healing
energy.
And healthy for us. There's no question about that. So how do people volunteer? How should they get in touch with you? Because Jesse Jones, you're the one really that they should get in touch with.
Yeah. So you can contact me. My email with Blue Water Task Force is bwtf@surfrider.portland.org. That would be the best way.
Surfrider.
So Blue Water Task Force, BWTF, @surfrider.portland.org.
It's portland.surfrider.org.
Wait, we have to go back. Okay, so if you want to volunteer, if you want to go to the beach and get negative ions and do something really good for our oceans, for not only all who are living in the ocean, but those of us who enjoy the ocean from the shore and also play in the ocean, then you can become a volunteer with Surfrider here on the North Coast. And the way to do that is go to
bwtf@portland.surfrider.org.
Okay. And the reason for that is that the Portland chapter really works with the North Coast. There's not a chapter here yet, but however, you have volunteers, and so having more volunteers will really be helpful to all of the different projects. And so right now, the Blue Water Task Force focuses on the water quality, which we know is so crucial, and that's why a lot of beaches are closed sometimes, because the water quality is not good. What can a local citizen, let's say that you have people who are listening to this and they say, yes, I want to be able to do that. I want to do that with my family. It's such an it's a simple thing that people can do. And it's extremely helpful to Surfrider. And then what are some other things that people can do when they go to the beach?
Go ahead.
So when you go to the beach, if it looks like the beach is clean, I'm going to encourage you to take a closer look. In Oregon, we have a lot of small pieces of marine debris on our beach. So when you look closer, you can see those smaller pieces. Sometimes we do get larger debris. So just kind of work it into your routine to pick up trash on the beach or just in Astoria, because the wind is and the water running through the streets is eventually going to take that litter out to the ocean. So just make it a part of your habit when you're walking anywhere to pick up litter and dispose of it properly. Speaking of Oswald West, which is a beloved place that we say is in threat of being loved to death because so many people are visiting it, one big issue we have there is pet waste. And people not picking up after the pets. So the Portland chapter, which you mentioned, is kind of funding the work on the North Coast until potentially there is a chapter here. They purchased dog bag stations to put at Oswald West and pay for the refill bags there. So we work very closely with state parks. We're working with them to develop signage or talk about ways that we can help improve this issue, because the state parks employees are constantly picking up after everyone else's pets, and that can contribute to diminished water quality. So it's really important to just pick up after your pet and just toss that into a waste receptacle so it's not going into the ocean.
Oh, good. Thank you for that. We only have a few minutes left, and I would like to have each of you have time to really talk about maybe some other things we haven't talked about, or just let the listening audience know anything that you think is really important to know. I mean, I am really impressed by all of the work that you all are doing, and people can Google Surfrider Foundation, and that will take you to a website, and you can see all of the different programs that they're doing. Specifically here on the North Coast, we're talking about the Blue Water Task Force, which Jesse Jones is in charge of. And so monitoring water quality, that's something that you can do right here on the coast. And, of course, picking up trash, as we've talked about. So, Brianna, any last things that you'd like the listening audience to know?
Yes, please contact Jesse. It would be great to have some more water quality samplers. So email her at bwtf@portland.surfrider.org and get involved and get out in the environment, have a nice time sampling in the ocean.
One of the things I like that you mentioned, Brianna, too, is that I think maybe a lot of folks don't realize that we are around so many computers, so much technology, and they emit positive ions. And too many positive ions are very unhealthy for us in body, mind, and spirit. They're just unhealthy. The ocean, being near the ocean, that emits negative ions. So going to the ocean anytime you can is like going to a health spa in some ways. I mean, it's really good for you, for your body, your mind, and your spirit. And what a great idea if you can go to the ocean and at the same time get some samples that really help the health of the ocean overall. Jesse, what last things would you like the listening audience to know about?
Well, I just want to say that we can all agree on clean and healthy beaches. And Surfrider Organization and the Blue Water Task Force offers direct volunteer opportunities in this community. And protecting recreation is really important. And so I just encourage people to get out and get some samples. People love showing their love for the ocean on social media, and we provide a way to actually walk your talk. You can do 1 day of sampling. You can do 3 days of sampling. We'll take you all. So please give me an email at bluewatertaskforce@portland.surfrider.org. Sorry, it's a new email for me. So.
Okay, that's good to know. And I really also like the fact that you've talked about the fact that, yeah, some places are in danger of being loved to death. And the Oregon Coast Visitors Association, which is the organization which is tasked with, you know, marketing the Oregon coast. I mean, and it is, you know, tourism, and certainly is, you know, economically, that's an important thing for everyone on the Oregon coast. However, we also are now seeing so many impacts, whether it's the tide pool that's visited too much. And so how do we work with resources, protection of our resources, so that we have them there for future generations? And so Surfrider is doing great work with that. So thank you both so much for being here. I encourage all of you to Google Surfrider Foundation and get in touch with Jesse Jones, so that when you're at the beach getting those negative ions, which are healthy for you, you can also collect some samples. It sounds like a pretty simple thing to do. Just need some rubber boots, and they'll give you the equipment you need. You can get in touch with Jesse Jones at BWTF. That stands for Blue Water Task Force. So it's BWTF@portland.surfrider.org. Thank you both so much for what Surfrider is doing. And thank you, Joanne Rideout, for being our engineer today. So grateful for that. And my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program. Until next week, find a moment for yourself today. Take a deep breath. It's good for your body, your mind, and your spirit. And then with gratitude, focus on the things that are going well in your life. There will always be those things that don't go well. But focus on the things that are. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you, the only one. And for doing the best you can. Everyone is. And for being here now in this moment, the only moment which exists, the now moment, in the amazing planet and on the amazing planet with our oceans we call Earth.